Meeting is now being recorded.
Hello, everyone. This is Brenda speaking. Welcome to RDS 2SQ Leadership Call number 35 on July 18, 2018 at 1900 UTC. Attending the call today is Susan and Alan, and Catherine will join us shortly. From ICANN.org is Jean-Baptiste and Brenda, and we have apologies from Alice. Today's call is being recorded. May I please remind you to state your name before speaking? Jean-Baptiste, I'll turn the call over to you.
Thank you very much, Brenda. And since you have added Susan's message under AOB, I believe there is no for AOB unless Susan, you have something you wanted to discuss today. Okay, so starting with the first item on the agenda, which is the subgroup status update. So here we just wanted to provide you with a brief update on the different calls that were scheduled. So there was the single quiz policy subgroup call today, but which was canceled due to lack of attendance. So Carlton will follow up on this. On recommendation 15 and 16, we have a subgroup call scheduled on the 19th, which is tomorrow at 13 at UTC. And I believe in the meantime, a compliance call has been scheduled this Friday at 16 UTC. And for the law enforcement survey, so I have seen messages going out from Lily and from Catherine, nothing from Thomas at the moment. There were already 35 replies confirming agreement to take the survey, and I looked a few minutes ago at the number of replies, and there were about 13 already on the survey. Any questions so far on this?
It's Alan. I have a question. I've been seeing messages back and forth on whether I can accept the credentials from the people who will be doing the survey. I've never seen anything like this before, that we need to verify the credentials of doing the survey by ICANN. I understand why the review team needs to be satisfied, but I don't understand why ICANN.org is involved in deciding whether someone is legitimate or not to complete the survey. Am I missing something?
I'm more than happy to look into that for you, Alan. I'm afraid I'm not the right person to answer this question. No, I mean, in total honesty, I prefer to look into it rather than trying my luck answering you. So I'm more than happy to look into that and get back to you.
Yeah, it's not important. I'm just very curious because it seems to be out of the ordinary from anything I've seen. Susan has her hand up though.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you're seeing, and so I don't know if it's certification, but I know the BC just set up a subgroup email address for the EPDP, and each of the people that wanted to be part of that DL had to go through and respond to certain questions and agree to be added to that, and that was for GDPR. So I don't know if it could be something, an extension of something like that because of GDPR.
But who is verifying that they answer the questions properly?
You just answer them, and then they say, okay, thanks.
No, but is it the constituency or ICANN.org that is doing that?
So ICANN.org is sending it out.
Okay.
But, it's very, if I could find one, I'd send it to you, but it's very lightweight. I'm just trying to see if I can find it all, or if I haven't read it at all, send it to you.
Okay.
But I do know that a series of emails for that purpose goes out now.
Are these emails asking, verifying that you're willing to have your information distributed?
Or included in the DL, yeah.
Okay, well, that makes sense, but that's not the same as what we're talking about. Talking about, I've seen messages, will ICANN accept the fact that they don't have their name in the email address or something like that, but, but someone is vouching for them. Anyway, okay, let's leave it. It's not an important issue right now.
Okay. And the second thing I wanted to just provide an update on is following the plenary call. So we have changed the status of subwarding registrant data to complete at the review team level. Unless there are any other questions, I'll move on to the face-to-face meeting agenda.
Okay.
I'll just put that on screen now. And there were only a few minor updates following the previous. Oh. Brenda, did you? Yes, you did. Perfect. Okay, so the main two changes on the agenda, which is projected on screen, is changing the rapporteur to lead the discussion on international domain name, which will be you, Alan. And the second thing is the discussion on filming up the timeline with a discussion on the work plan. So those were the two main changes. I recall that you had asked that we check with the catering services whether it would be possible to start the meeting earlier at 8 and have the breakfast delivered earlier. We have not received a confirmation yet on that. But in the meantime, I also wanted to ask, since I recall a comment from Suzanne in the chat, whether that would be an issue, for example, the meeting starts at 8, but that the food is served in the meantime a little bit later, like at 8:40, for example, and whether the routine would just stop for 5 minutes and take the food and get back in the room. I was wondering whether that would be feasible too, or...
I could certainly live with that. I'm happy to have a coffee at the hotel to start with and then anything else afterwards.
Okay.
I'm presuming everyone will be amenable to that. There's also a Starbucks somewhere nearby, I think.
Right, in the metro, yeah. All right.
I think that would probably be acceptable also.
Perfect. So... we'll update you whether any of the two scenarios, where first if the scenario with having the food delivered earlier is feasible, otherwise we change the timing to 8 and have the breakfast delivered at a normal time.
Yeah, or Jean-Baptiste, maybe it's easier just if the breakfast is going to be there at 8:30, we'll decide on the fly on Thursday whether we need to meet earlier or not. If we make good time, we may not feel we need to. And if the breakfast is there a little bit late, it's there a little bit late. So
okay.
I think we'll live with it.
Okay. Thank you, Alan. Were there any other questions that you had since Monday on the agenda?
I must admit I haven't looked at it in any great detail, but it clearly is doing its best to make sure that we complete the substantive issues before Catherine leaves, and I think that's fine.
Okay.
We're going to have to try to keep careful, attention to the time to make sure that it doesn't run away from us. But at this point, I'm happy.
Perfect. And did you have any chance to look at the draft report that was shared, I believe, a week ago?
I'm guilty of not doing that. I don't know about Susan.
Me either. I'm still working on the compliance draft report.
There's
so
just
I'm a little close now.
There are no spare time moments in the day, as far as I'm my concerned right now.
Yeah, exactly.
I will certainly have looked at it before we get there. Before we go on, still talking about the face-to-face, do we want to meet somewhat earlier on the first day as the leadership? I think we've done that before.
That's correct.
That would be good.
So at this point, the first day is due to have breakfast at 8:30 and meeting at 9. We show up at 8 o'clock sharp. Sound good?
Yep. That works for me.
Let's just make sure Catherine knows and obviously Alice. Jean-Baptiste, you're not going to be there, correct?
That's correct.
You're gallivanting somewhere else in the world.
Yes.
Okay. Then you don't have to show up at 8 o'clock for breakfast.
That's correct.
All right, let's proceed.
And that would, yeah, and okay, perfect. And I recall Alan got to find a cat sitter for this meeting.
I have to find a cat sitter.
I recall that you mentioned that.
No, we're okay
sure
the way it's moved.
Yeah.
I'm leaving town on Tuesday, and my wife is arriving back on Tuesday. In fact, we're likely to be in the airport at the same time, but in different parts that we can't see each other. So the cat will do fine.
Okay, so on your at your request, I'm just gonna project it seems I've been kicked out of Adobe, that's great. So I was about to project the last face-to-face meeting report with the comments from Stephanie.
I have the URL of the document. If I put it in the chat, will that help?
That will certainly, yes, that will help for sure.
If I can find it again now. Ah, dear.
I will send it to Brenda right away while I'm reconnecting.
Comments. Okay, hold on.
Send it to you, Brenda.
Yep, just one moment.
And here's the URL if anyone wants to pull it up. Yeah, that's the email. The URL for the document itself is at the bottom. But it's the one I just put in the... there we go.
Sorry, just one second.
It was there and then disappeared.
Yeah. Can I see it there?
Her first comment is on the next page. And she's asking... what is this? This is single who is policy. And she's saying she objects because the processes have been faulted. How will her objection be attached? We will attach it in an annex or whatever of our document. If she chooses to write something, we will put it in. I don't think we need any more. I don't think we need to modify the document to answer that question. We can provide it to her privately, though. Next one is on compliance. And her comment is she doesn't want to say enforcement because that implies complete enforcement, total enforcement, and we should say as applicable. Or as required. Susan, do you have any problem with that?
No, I'm fine with that.
Good. Then let's just alter it to say as required, and that one is addressed.
Mm-hmm.
Next one is on data accuracy. This one is a thorny one. This is her contention that sometimes too accurate data is going to cause problems, i.e. if you put your real email address, they'll send you spam or whatever. I don't see how we can address this other than by saying, ah, well, accuracy doesn't matter, and clearly we are not going to say that. And I don't see how we can get hard data on to what extent this has affected people. Nor do I believe ICANN compliance is in a position to measure it. Any idea how we're going to address this one, other than say let's discuss it in the face-to-face and hope we can contain it to not too many minutes? Susan, please come up with a good idea.
Unintended consequences, ID theft, get solid data. Of course, on the flip side of that, inaccurate data can be identity theft.
Of course, yeah. True. Inaccurate data can cause you to have identity theft with someone else.
Yeah, exactly. That happens all the time. So maybe we instruct ICANN compliance to measure it.
How are they going to measure that?
I don't know. So let's discuss that and see if we can't come to...
Let's discuss it. Let's make sure we discuss it in Brussels. And I think the best we can do is add a caution that accurate data has a downside, but on balance, there's nothing we can do but try to make sure we have accurate data. With
mm-hmm.
GDPR and things like that, not as many people will see it.
Right. So there's safeguards, but there's also downsides of inaccurate data.
That's correct. That's why I think on balance, I think we have to punt this one into the face-to-face, but try to manage the discussion so it doesn't take too long. Next one. So our answer to Stephanie was we'll discuss it further in Brussels on SP3. And the next one I see, interestingly, what you're displaying on the screen is different than what I see on my screen and what I see when I open the document, but ignoring that. I don't know what she deleted. Subgroup wishes to review contracts. There was a word of that was omitted, I see. And the SP4 comment is, I would have agreed. She's asking, should we have asked Iron Mountain how many breach notices they have given? My belief is Iron Mountain doesn't really have access to the data that's the contents. So Iron Data is treating this as stuff. I don't think they can even recognize that there is specific user data, nor do they have any way to contact that data, nor do they, I believe, do they have the right to contact those registrants. So I think at best they would have to notify whoever it is that owns the data, the registrar or registry.
So isn't the real question is, has there ever been a breach of the escrow provider? If no, then obviously they're not going to try to notify those people. But if yes, what did ICANN do then? Because it was their data that they stored.
Well, it's not ICANN, it's the registrar registry's data. Remember, we are adding a recommendation that Iron Mountain or the escrow provider must notify ICANN. That's a recommendation. We don't have it implemented yet. As far as we know, there is no obligation for Iron Mountain to notify anybody right now of a breach, other than an obligation they may have under local law.
Yeah, which there would be. But what I'm getting at is, has that data ever been breached? I don't know that we asked that question.
We didn't ask the question, and we certainly could. And why don't we simply do that?
Yeah.
Let's put it up as a small, as an item under safeguarding data on the Monday meeting to note that as a result of reviewing Stephanie's comments, the review team will ask Iron Mountain in particular, as a prime vendor of escrow services, has there ever been a data breach that they are aware of, and what have they done about it? And I presume we are willing to sign non-disclosure agreements if necessary to get the answer, or at least some of us are. All right, so let's bring it up at the meeting, and as a result of that meeting, it'll get done. It obviously will not get done in time for the Brussels meeting, but we'll have the hopefully we'll have an answer or refusal to give an answer soon after. All right, and I think that is the last item that she had flagged.
That's correct.
Okay. So one of the items we'll bring up, the last item we'll bring up at the meeting, the implications of data accuracy we will discuss in Brussels. We have changed the word to change the compliance to
as required.
As required, and the first one we are noting, we will note to Stephanie that she is free to produce any objection or other comments she chooses, and we will include them at the end of the report. And that if you can send out a message to her to that effect.
Okay.
Okay, done. I think we're over, other than confirming decisions and action items.
Yeah. And sorry about me not taking notes on that, but I'll re-listen to the recording and write them down.
That's
just
fine.
Because when I share the screen, I cannot do it at the same time.
That's fine.
But
getting...
In any case, decisions reached, so there will be a leadership meeting at 8 a.m. before the face meeting starts for 30 minutes. The second decision, which is not there, was that we would leave, we would decide face-to-face meeting day number two, start time would be decided on the day before.
And the breakfast comes whenever the breakfast comes.
Exactly. And second, in terms of action items, so I'll follow up on the questions that you had, Alan, and we'll work on the different resolutions to Stephanie's comments and objections on the last face-to-face meeting report.
Excellent.
Any other business or question?
Only to welcome Catherine and ask her if she's had anything to add before we adjourn the meeting.
Thank you, Alan. This is Catherine. Just to add my apologies for being so late, and after you moved the meeting for me, I had underestimated my children's ability to stay awake beyond the usual bedtime, so apologies for my delay. And thank you for your understanding.
We started off with Jean-Baptiste. It was screaming from behind Jean-Baptiste, so it's only fitting to end this with this one.
Well, Alan, you think he was behind me, but he was, in fact, downstairs. It's crazy.
Well, I'm sorry. Behind being not on the phone. That's all right. I'd like to think we're a kid-friendly working group, so.
You certainly are. You haven't ever made me feel bad about all the times I was late or had to miss things because of the children. So at this point, thank you very much for that understanding also. It's really appreciated.
It's certainly my pleasure, and I hope our pleasure. All right. I will call this meeting to an end, and see you either online or next Monday. Bye-bye.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.